Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, and good morning. Welcome to True Success Radio, broadcasting live from the WMGNA headquarters in sunny Farmington, Connecticut. I'm Daniel J. Friedman, your host and CEO of WMGNA. We are truly excited to have Earl Lerner of Stewart Staffing Solutions and Recruitment Group with offices in Hartford, Connecticut, and Boston, Massachusetts. And just so you know, Earl is the president and CEO of Stewart Staffing Solutions. So he's the head honcho here, and we're excited to have him for this edition of Ask a Recruiter. As always, I'm joined here in studio with my able-bodied producer, Melody Simpson. Good morning, Earl.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm looking forward to being a part of this morning's podcast.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you for making some time for us today. We're going to talk about what's going on in the labor force, in the workforce. You know, where are the opportunities? What should people be looking for? What should people that are my age who are maybe career-changing, 52, what should people be looking for if they're working at Melody's age? And she just turned a happy birthday yesterday. How old are you, Melody?
31.
31, okay. And what? And more importantly, what should small business owners, what should professional corporations, what should large corporations that are looking to bring in executives between the divergent ages? And some people might say, you know, Daniel, you're a wealth manager, you're a financial advisor. What does staffing have to do with what you guys do? And, you know,
sure.
I was thinking, Earl, that the biggest asset people have is their human capital, the
correct
ability to make money. And in this great country, if you apply that, you're able to crack your own code, or someone helps you crack your code, your road is paved very well. So, Earl, is there such a thing as a business skills gap, and what are some companies doing to combat this problem? We do hear about this skills gap that there's opportunities out there, but we can't fill them because people don't have the training or the technical expertise. Can you comment on that?
Well, I certainly can. Our experience is that there is a perceived skills gap. It is not my opinion that there's a skills gap. There are skilled people out there. It is a candidate-driven market at this point. But the best candidates, the best employees are those that are working. They are typically happy. They don't even know that they may want another opportunity. We are specialized in the way we do our work in accessing these people, presenting a company, the benefits of possibly considering a move, and enticing these people to speak with us about those opportunities. Clearly, it is candidate-driven. The millennials are the young generation is coming up. The way they look at life and the way they look at employment appears to be different than, the Gen Xers and the baby boomers who are now preparing to retire. But the most valuable asset in any organization is the people, is the talent. And our clients are very informed. They understand that we are a strategic business partner in helping them find and access the people they need to successfully run their business.
Where right now, so your clients, specifically, where is where is Stewart's sweet spot as far as, is it in manufacturing? Is it in publicly traded company executive? Where are you guys?
You know what? We do a little bit of everything, but we do a lot of banking, commerce, manufacturing, light industrial, administrative, clerical, and insurance. A little bit of legal, but those are really the specialties that we excel in. On occasion, we will get a request to do something that is possibly a one-off, and if it makes sense for us to do, if it makes sense for us, and it's synergistic with our own mission and those of our clients, we'll do it. But typically, that's where we spend our time, in those seven or eight areas.
Sure, sure, great. So what are your top clients? What are they looking for as far as filling their needs?
Well, they're looking typically for highly skilled engineers in the manufacturing sector. They're looking for mid to senior level leadership in banking and commerce. In that space, again, they're looking for a lot of lending and credit experience people, mortgage underwriters. In the manufacturing sector, occasionally we will do the lower level of that organization in the machinist area, but typically they're looking for experienced engineers to senior engineers and senior leadership. On occasion, and we're seeing more of it, they want younger people. They want people with maybe 1 to 3 to 4 years of experience. In that regard, they can access people that hopefully will be with them. They will learn their methods. They won't be stuck in old paradigms that may or may not be consistent with the company they're going to work for. And they're more open to learning specifically how a company does things and hopefully stay with them for a number of years.
Okay, I got it. All right, so one of the follow-up questions then is, how are businesses attracting young employees? And you mentioned teaching younger, less experienced employees how businesses do things. What about bringing on these young people? Do you see businesses bringing on young people so they can embrace how these younger people are doing things, as they're going to be, and they are right now, the leading consumer demographic group?
The answer is yes and no. On the yes side, we're finding some clients are really cutting edge. They are very tuned into the millennial generation. They understand that their values may differ from the predecessor generations. They are responsive to that. The millennial generation, generally speaking, they want to make an impact. It is less about money and benefits, and it's more about how they can have a meaningful impact in the future. They value participation. They value time off and leisure. So we're finding clients that get this, that understand this, are more successful than those that don't, and that's another opportunity for us. We spend a lot of time talking to our clients that may be like me, a baby boomer, that needs to be educated to what the current job market, the talent market expects. They are, in many, many respects, calling the shots, and clients that want to be successful in accessing the talent they need must be responsive to that. If they're not, they're going to be dealing with a lot of vacancy.
So now you're working both ends of this, right? So your most successful relationships are where you place someone and they're happy and the employer's happy. So what are you suggesting to businesses on how to attract the next generation of business leaders?
I'm suggesting that they be open to suggestions that heretofore possibly they weren't. Somebody that approaches the new job market as an employer and says, well, that's the way we've always done it, typically is not going to be as successful as they may have been 10 years ago. they need to be open to exploring new ways to attract talent. Flexible scheduling, possibly working from home, possibly more paid time off. We're seeing that a lot more.
Okay. And now what when you're speaking to a candidate about a position, what are their expectations going into the workforce? We are talking now about I'm moving my middle son into UConn on Saturday, so kids are headed back off to college. I just met with the dean of the Barney Business School here in Hartford yesterday, very bright, mm-hmm. engaging, talented guy, Marty Roth. And so what are you coaching your candidates up to? What expectations should they be having going into either their first job in a career or something that they've maybe been looking to do? Maybe they've been working part-time. They haven't been able to find the right opportunity, but you have got that for them. What do you tell them?
Well, it at the end of the day, we work as a contingent search firm. Sometimes we do retained search, but mostly contingent. Essentially, we work primarily for our clients. Those are the people that pay our fees. We do a lot of coaching with candidates. We will not work with people that we feel are not realistic. For example, a newly degreed engineer right out of school, a 22, 23-year-old person who is expecting to make a salary that is just not realistic just because he or she wants it. If we can't get them to a point where we feel they're being realistic about their expectations, we will politely decline working with them. We want to work with realistic people. We will work to educate them in what we believe is appropriate. And at the end of the day, we are matchmakers. We want to give our clients exactly what they ask for. It's not our job to try to sell a client on a candidate. It's our job to find the candidate that our client wants. And it's a combination
right. Well,
of skill, well, personality.
Yes, got it. You're down right in there, face to face. You're only as successful. So I have you, and I need to bring in some new financial technology people. I need to bring in some. There's a huge gap here. Everyone in financial advice and wealth management, investment advice. I'm at the younger end of that arc. So most people who are at it are older than me. Now, I'm only going to continue to use you if you bring people to me that are going to fit in here and meet my expectations. So what are there a couple things that you could give a younger person, a millennial, someone in their 20s or 30s, how do they go about and secure that employment and be as successful as possible in an organization? Are there things that you see that would be helpful to?
Again, our clients can hire anybody they want to hire. They're going to hire the best person that we present or the best person that they find on their own. So, if somebody wants to be in an organization and the organization requires, various skills or experiences, there are some that will do internships. There are some that will take, entry-level people without the skills. But at the end of the day, if they're looking for specific skills, and that person, that young person out of college does not have that skill, it's not likely we're going to be successful in placing them. And in fact, we're probably not going to present them because our client is looking for a specific thing, and we're not going to present somebody without that. Having said that, the best thing that we've seen with young candidates that are struggling is to try to get an internship. Get in there, do summer work for free. When there is an opening, you have exposure to a company, you've been there, you understand the culture. Presumably, if they are still there, they like them and so on, they would have a greater opportunity to get hired at an entry-level position.
Got it. Good points. Okay, so we're talking about this Uber economy, the Uber workforce, where no one, I think, goes into a job believing that they're going to be there for 30 years and you know, retire happily ever after. You know, the work for a company, get a pension. You know, those days are.
Right.
If they're not few and far between, they're perhaps not even existent anymore. So, you see as far, and how are your clients adapting to someone who may have all the necessary skills but wants to have the flexibility of, like you said, you know what, I want to be able to work 2 12-hour days. And on Fridays, I want to go hiking and fishing, whether it's here or somewhere else. But I've got the skills that a company could use, and maybe one of those 12-hour days would not necessarily need to be on site. Are companies realizing that there's a lot of talent out there, and how are they accommodating to what the reality is in this information technology Uber economy?
It runs the gamut from exceptionally well with some to not at all with others, literally both ends of the spectrum. We spend a lot of time challenging our clients, because we deal, you know, most of the time with the top decision makers, the president, CEO, heads of HR, and so on. Typically, those people are not in their early 20s. They're in their 50s, 60s. They are used to that stay for 20, 30 year dynamic, which does not exist any longer. And so we're challenging them to get out of their comfort zone and consider. It's like, look, if I've got a guy and he's 28 years old and he's got 5 years of a skill that you want. You may need to consider doing something you've never done before and make that available. Possibly they've never had anybody work remotely. Well, this guy wants to work remotely, and if he's got the skills, maybe there's a way to make that happen. And you know, it's my opinion that the more direct we are with our clients, I mean, look, we're always respectful, we're always honest, but the more direct and to the point we are, the better we're serving them and all stakeholders. So, you know, I'll say very frankly, as will my recruiters to their clients, look, you are missing an opportunity. We've got this guy. He's got the skills. He is not going to fit into your mold. Maybe you need to tweak your model a little bit. And so we do that every day.
Yeah. Do you see people that, because I would think, and I'm 22 years here, Same company.
Yep.
I'm thinking if we come to you, Earl, and we give you this, and you've got a candidate, what really is getting in the way of people of trying something? What's the worst that happens? That you spend some time and energy, and I guess in money, but you bring in someone, you want them to, you know, they're going to work remotely 1 week out of the year. You know, their boyfriend lives in Rhode Island, and she wants to spend the week down there, but is going to work from there, and you try it. I mean, so what is it that, is it just change is just very hard for people who've been doing something the same way forever?
Well, the truth of the matter is we are highly successful, and we're successful in getting our clients to hear us and typically respond to us. It's more times than not, we'll say, look, try it. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. We can retool it.
Right.
But more times than not, you know, we get our clients to hear us. If we are presenting top-notch, high-level, high-impact talent, if we present somebody that really doesn't resonate to the job, then, you know, they're going to be less apt to be responsive.
Okay. So there's, you know, can you talk a little about the difference between, and we hear this, temporary or contract workers versus direct versus direct hire employees? It's sort of a segue onto this.
Sure.
What is
sure.
the, are you able to place people in all those different things? What do you see on that, or what comments do you have on the differences between temporary, contract, and direct hire employees?
Sure. Well, we do both. On the temp side, typically, if somebody is working in a job, in a full-time job, we're not gonna get them to leave that full-time job for a temporary job, which could be, you know, it could be a day, it could be 6 months, it could be whatever our client wants. More times than not, our temporary jobs are, blue-collar, they're light industrial. It could be anything from, stocking shelves in a warehouse to packing fruit to, assembly. Could be a low-level machinist position. And we do a lot of that. We've got about 400 employees that do temp work every day in various companies, you know, around not only this state, but in 26 other states that we operate in. The direct hire side, and the fundamental difference is the temp employee works for us. They are on our payroll. We pay the payroll and the taxes and the filings and the benefits.
And is that typically how it would work at other organizations on a temporary or a contract job that you place someone at, that they would be employees of yours?
Yes,
and not an employee
They would work for the agency. You know, they're paid by the agency, but they're deployed to the client company. The client company supervises them, approves their time, submits a time card at the end of the week, and so on. But they work for us. We pay them at the end of the week. On the direct hire side, and again, typically on the direct hire side, a client is going to be looking for probably a higher level employee. You know, more times than not, they're going to call us up and say, "Hey, Earl, we need you to find us a chief operating officer for this company, and we're going to pay them $300,000, and we're going to give him a bonus of 30%, and he's going to be doing this, that, and the other thing." And we will go out and we will find three or four of those people. We'll background check them, we'll vet them, we'll reference them. If we believe that they are a good fit, based on their skills, based on their personality, based on what they want, and if it's consistent with what the company wants, we will present them, and we will create.
All right, Earl, hold on one second. One second. We've got what, 5-6 minutes left here. The call in number. If anyone has any questions, comments, you got Earl right here. 646-668-8397. So we got a few more minutes. If there's folks listening, got a question, I didn't give you the call in number, but you got it now. So, and in our remaining time on the we're pretty good with the contract, the direct hires. What in the last few minutes we have, Earl, what would be three things that you would suggest to an employer? You know, we meet out. We're at the Greater Hartford Arts Council's holding something startup. My friend Angela does this startup Hartford deal at the end of the month. And we meet at one of these things. You know, we're business people. And I say, what do you do? And what would be three things that you would suggest to me? Here's what I'm looking to bring in. I'm looking to bring in someone for our director of first impressions. It's 10 to 3. Full-time, part-time. I'm looking to bring in a financial advisor, strong technology, who's got a couple years' experience. What would be the three things you would say to me on how to attract those people?
I would say push past any paradigms that you may have from the past. Think outside the box. Be open. And look, if you're engaging a recruiter, and I don't know if they are or not, but if you're engaging a recruiter, listen to them, assuming they're a good recruiter. And frankly, there's a lot of less than stellar recruiters out there. We pride ourselves on not taking shortcuts. So if you're a good recruiter, listen to the recruiter. This is what we do well. Our clients do what they do well. So listen to the recruiter. Meet the people they suggest that you meet. Don't just base it on a resume. Resume is a resume. Spend a few minutes meeting the person and be open to what's important to the candidate. You may get a lot of skill if you're willing to break the mold and try something new.
Excellent ideas. Now, also, what do you say to your candidates that you're sending out? What would be the three things that candidates that you send out, or three things that people that are seeking employment, what mm-hmm. should they be?
I would say they should first do a lot of research on a company they're interested in. They should understand what it is that the company does, where they do it, who they do it with, what product, if they're producing a product or a service, what it is they do. Read up on any current news. Be very realistic about your expectations. Don't go in there with a chip on your shoulder that you're worth more than you are. And make yourself available. If somebody wants to meet you at 8 o'clock on Wednesday morning, if you're serious about your job search, make that happen. Don't say, well, gee, can we meet at 5:30 at night, or can we meet on Saturday? We see that periodically, and we just, we won't respond
right.
to it.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Okay. Time flies when you're talking staffing. We're just about out of time. How do people get in touch with you, Earl? If someone has a need for your services out there in our podcast world that's listening in, or someone that might pick it up on LinkedIn or from our website, or from your website,
yep.
How do people get in touch with you?
The easiest way is to give us a call at 860-293-1554, or they can go on our website, and that's www.stewart.com. Or just find us on social media. We're on Facebook. We're on LinkedIn. We're on Indeed. And we're all over social media. But the best way
Excellent.
To call.
Of course, yes, of course, if anyone has questions or they want to get in touch with you through us, daniel@wmgna.com is the place to email me. WMGNA.com is our website. You can find out more about Earl, and this podcast will be up there shortly. We've got I just got the 90-second call. So, Earl, again, thank you for coming in. We appreciate Earl Werner of Stewart Staffing Solutions and Recruitment Group. Again, they have offices in Hartford, Connecticut, here in the heartbeat, and in Boston, Massachusetts. Earl, have a great rest of the summer, and we look forward to chatting again with you soon.
Thank you so much. Appreciate the opportunity, guys.
All right, Earl. Thanks.